Well, let's get right to it. There were two choices for the second reading this morning from Ephesians chapter 5. The full version from verse 21 to 32, or the shortened version, which excludes the parts in brackets. Why would we choose not to read the whole passage? Some of you have heard me say before that the only brackets I believe in are the ones that help me pick my final four basketball teams in March. In other words, if there's anything in the scriptures that makes us uncomfortable or that we don't understand, the answer is not to run away from it. That would mean that the inspired word of God has a mistake, which is impossible. The answer is to ask, what is it that God wants to say? And why did he choose to say it in this way? Well, the key to understanding the beginning of this passage is understanding the end. All this talk about how a husband and wife should treat each other, culminating in those famous words, "For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." I mean, how many dozens of weddings have you heard those words at? I thought, well, this is talking about my sister and her husband. It's talking about my best friend and his wife. It's talking about my parents. And until I read the last line, "This is a great mystery, but I speak in reference to Christ and the church." Christ and the church. So all this time, St. Paul has not been talking primarily about the marriage between a man and a woman, but a marriage far more profound, where Jesus Christ is the groom, and we are his bride. That's how much he loves us. I know that's hard to believe. And that's why he gives us three incredible ways to make it real. Because if you're sitting there right now saying, "Well, I don't know what it's like to have Jesus Christ as my spouse." Well, he's saying, look around. Because I'm going to give you three reminders of what it's like. And the first is the love between a husband and a wife. Sure, they can get married at the courthouse or on the beach or in the mountains, but if they choose to get married in a church, it doesn't mean that they won't have challenges. It means that they've chosen to be an image of the marriage between Christ and his church. Now, if anyone has ever used this passage from Ephesians as an excuse to disrespect women, they're wrong. And they don't speak for the church. If anything, the real challenge in this passage is for men. Are you willing to love your bride like Christ loved his bride? the church, because that's how much he loved his bride. He died for her. Could St. Paul have said it differently? Sure. Would it have saved me some grief? Probably. I don't know why the Holy Spirit gave him those words. But I do know that he was giving us the first reminder that Christ loves us as his spouse. The second reminder is the witness of a religious sister who chooses not to marry someone on this earth so that she can have Jesus Christ as her only spouse. And when I see how much Sister Rosemary or Sister Inadina, Sister Maria Antonia, Sister Guillermina, Sister Janice, Sister Jan, or Sister Angela, when I see how much they love Jesus Christ as their spouse, I should say, what a great example. That's how I should love Jesus Christ as part of the church, his spouse. And the final reminder is the life of a priest who chooses not to marry one woman on this earth so that he can follow the example of Jesus and take the entire church as his bride. You know, I remember the weekend, probably this weekend's readings, when I told the parish in Great Bend, I have an announcement to make. I got married. I thought we were going to have to use a defibrillator to restart someone's heart in the front pew. You know, we have many imperfect priests, and I'm certainly one. But in some imperfect way, if I see a priest who loves the church as his only bride, it should remind me how much Christ loves us as his bride. One image, three reminders. The love between a husband and a wife, the love between Jesus Christ and a religious sister, and the love between a priest and the church, all pointing us to the same reality, that we were made for union with God. Which is why if you're called to one of these three, your courage to say yes is not just for your sake, it's for ours. We need all three. It's no coincidence that in the book of Revelation, the Mass in heaven is called a wedding feast. St. Paul is right. It is a great mystery. And the more fine examples that we have from the cathedral of all three, the closer that we can come to understanding the love that Christ, our spouse, has for us.